Started. Are you ready for a little humor today?
Yes, sir.
I heard a few. Well, you're going to get it anyway. Laughter produces anti-oncogenes. Those are cancer-fighting agents in your body. It's a known fact that God put them there because he says in the Word that laughter is good medicine. Now, you may not laugh, ladies, but the guys are going to get a little laugh today. I shared this a little bit with David, but I didn't share all of them, so you'll have it the second time. But one of my elders sent this to me one time about 10 years ago, and I found it, and I just thought it was kind of cute. But this called the man rules. Not the man rules, but these are rules men follow. Okay? Number one, men are not mind readers, ladies. Two, learn to work the toilet seat. You're a big girl. If it's up, put it down. We need it up, you need it down. You don't hear us complaining about you leaving it down. Okay? That didn't go over very well. Number three, Sunday sports is like the full moon or the changing of the tides. Let it be. Crying is blackmail. Ask for what you want. Let us be clear on this one. Subtle hints do not work. Strong hints do not work. Obvious hints do not work. Just say it. Yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers to almost every question. Come to us with a problem only if you want help solving it. That's what we do. Sympathy is what your girlfriends are for. I got an amen there, huh? Anything we said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all comments become null and void after 7 days. If you think your dress may not be the most flattering, it probably isn't. Don't ask us. If something we said can be interpreted two ways and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, we meant the other one. You can either ask us to do something or tell us how you want it done, not both. If you already know best how to do it, just do it yourself. Whenever possible, please say whatever you have to say during commercials. Christopher Columbus did not need directions, and neither do we. All men see in only 16 colors, like Windows default settings. Peach, for example, is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkin is also a fruit. We have no idea what mauve is. If it itches, it will be scratched. We do that. If we ask what is wrong and you say nothing, we will act like nothing's wrong. We know you are lying, but it's just not worth the hassle. If you ask a question you don't want to answer to, expect an answer you don't want to hear. When we have to go somewhere, absolutely anything you wear is fine, really. Don't ask us what we're thinking about unless you're prepared to discuss such topics as baseball or golf. You have enough clothes. You have too many shoes. I am in shape. Round is a shape. Thank you for listening to this. Yes, I know you have to sleep on the couch tonight. But did you know men really don't mind that? It's like camping. Pass this to as many men as you can to give them a laugh. Pass this to as many women as you can to give them a bigger laugh. So, folks, Bible says laughter is good medicine. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the man who wrote this. Or woman who probably wrote it. Let's pray. Father, it's good to laugh. It's good to be humorous. But when we get serious and we think about what it cost us or what it cost you to bring us into your kingdom, Lord, we are as serious as can be. We give you all the praise, we give you all the honor, we give you all the glory. Those that are here today do not need to hear my voice, they do not need to hear my opinion, they do not need to hear anything that I have to offer, but they do need to hear the Holy Spirit and what you want to convey from heaven to earth. So I pray that my voice will be a conduit today of your heart. And may these words edify, exhort, encourage, lift up, and if necessary, rebuke. But Lord, let it be all for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're talking about this day we fight. That as a Christian, like it or not, you're in a war. when you become a Christian, because Satan now has become your enemy. And the demons, the third of the angels that fell from heaven, are part of his horde that he uses in the second heavens, in that invisible realm, if you will, that exists among us, to indeed operate if allowed to. And I say allowed to is because we have authority from God on high to have authority over these demons operating in this second heavens. But oftentimes we don't use it, and that's what this is all about. We're going to be teaching you how to use the authority that you have and some of the ways in which you can to overcome some of the things we face on a day-to-day basis. So last week we left off with the fact that as Christians we're in a fight. For there is evil in this world, right? Amen? And Satan would like nothing better than to thrust everything into terrible darkness and chaos. We see it happening. His goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. His goal is to throw as much as he can into darkness and chaos. And who and what he uses is key. It's not just that second realm that we live in here, that invisible realm that Satan is involved in, that he uses. He'll use you. He'll use Christians, if we allow him to do things that we're not proud of or that we contribute to the chaos and darkness. But praise God, through the cross, we can be forgiven and we get to do over and do over and do over. But for crying out loud, let's learn, let's mature, and let's grow, because that's what Paul says you're supposed to do in church. Let's learn how to fight so that we don't even get engaged in that and we don't have to worry about being delivered, because we'll be in his lap at all times, engaged in prayer and worship and fellowship and the word and everything else that God is capable of doing in your life while you're here on this planet. But God calls us to resist the devil and use our authority to bind and cancel demonic advances. Folks, we were left here for a purpose. That purpose is what Jesus came to do, to seek and save the lost, and to destroy the works of the enemy. And I'm focusing now, we're not on evangelism today, we're talking about destroying the works of the enemy just as Jesus did, by delivering people, by healing people, by, again, bringing chaos and bringing order into chaos, bringing light into a dark place. Do you understand? Our role, because we're still here, is that. If it wasn't our role, when you got saved, you'd have gone straight up, just like Star Wars or whatever that is. Beam me up, Scotty. There'd be no purpose for you to be here if you weren't to carry out heaven's agenda. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. And he's got angels that go around and are watching over affairs. And I know that they're praying that those that he's left here, which are Christians, will be about the Lord's business until he decides enough and ends it all. How do I know? We're to bind. Tie up, strong man. You can only tie someone up if you're stronger than them. Amen. And cancel demonic assignments. See, Satan puts assignments on brand new Christians, especially brand new Christians, because he wants to steal the faith they just got. He'll put assignments on strong Christians because they're acting too strong and he's got to break that up. He'll put assignment on any Christian. So our job as fellow Christians is to come together, because we're strength in numbers, right, with the diversity of giftings, and to bind him and to cancel his assignments.
That's right.
We can do that. That's why we are here. Not just to go through a Sunday morning service, hallelujah, we're out of here and gone to the restaurant. No. We're to grow. This is a spiritual gym. We're to get our assignment from the Father.
That's right.
The Son, the Holy Spirit, empowering us to do the Father's work, assignment. Jesus did it. We can do it. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Let's look at some of those scriptures. James 4:7. Submit, therefore, to God. That's the first thing. You're not going to operate in any authority if you haven't submitted to God.
That's right.
So therefore, if you've not submitted yourself under the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and said, look, take me, mold me, shape me, use me, do whatever you want to do with me, God, but I'm not my own anymore. I've been bought with a price. I submit to your lordship. Mm-hmm. It's not enough him being Savior. He's Lord.
That's right.
Savior and Lord. Don't forget that. Submit, therefore, to God. Now you've set yourself up in a great position. Now resist the devil, because you've submitted to God, he's on your side. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't say he might flee from you. He will flee from you. Matthew 18, 18. Let's get a little more aggressive. Truly I say to you, when Jesus says truly, you better listen. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth, and he's talking to his disciples, he's talking to Peter specifically, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Listen to that. Whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. Jesus finished it. When he said it's finished, all you're doing is carrying out what he accomplished. Shall have been bound in heaven. So you're binding it. They've already bound it in heaven. They're waiting for you to speak it out. To put the devil in his place. To remind him, you lose.
That's right.
You've lost. You're just messing up and creating havoc in the world and in my life, and we'll have no more of it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he's in me, and the Holy Spirit empowers me and gives me authority to tell you to hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. That was kind of my terms. But in Jesus' terms, it's go to dry places in Jesus' name. It's bound in heaven when we bind on earth, when we're in and submitted. Remember, let's go back a verse. When we're submitted unto God, when we're in rebellion to God, don't you think any of your words that you're spouting out there to the devil even mean anything to him? He'll mock you. The commander in chief better be him, Jesus, not you. If you think you're walking around as commander in chief, you're in the wrong army. God's commander in chief of his army, and you're submitted underneath him, and you take orders from him, so you follow him. That requires intimacy, so therefore, hence praise and worship, and what we do besides sermons and other fellowship things. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Well, what do we want to loose? God's power, Holy Spirit, the joy and peace and love I want to loose upon all Christians and people in general. Turn the other cheek. Pray for them. You were once in that place where, you know what, you were lost. Thank God somebody prayed for you and got you into the kingdom. You can't just walk away from them. We need to approach them and let them know. If they don't know Jesus, we approach them in love. We don't want to offer them a kingdom that has rules and regulations and legalism and no smiles and no joy and no fruit of the Spirit. The first thing that that person who's getting evangelized should meet is the Holy Spirit, and it should have the fruit all around himself so that he'll know that he's meeting the Holy Spirit. Well, you need to get saved, you know, turn or burn. It works for some people, I guess, if you've got to be discerning to know that. Some people can get scared, but you know what? Scaring someone into salvation doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to stay there very long, because the devil knows that, and he'll come in with fear, and he'll bring them right back out. Oh, can you get in and out of salvation? And I'm not talking about it in that manner. No. But listen, we have choice. And we can choose to serve Satan or God. And that choice is never removed from us. Throughout our life, we endure, we persevere, we resist. All this stuff is, why do we do that? If we're once saved and always saved and going, and we can serve Satan and do anything we want after we say I do at the altar, what's the point of all the warfare? Who cares? I'm going. I can just go out and live like the world. It doesn't compute. And if I'm wrong, I'm no worse off. But if the people who believe that, hey, all I have to do is say I do at the altar, my marriage is going to work, or all I have to do is say I do at the altar and I'll always be, you know, submitting to God, for them it's not so happy if it's the other way around, right? So don't get hung up on that. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, no, not Peter wasn't the rock, upon the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the deliverer, the anointed one, the one sent from God to set you free. It's upon that revelation, upon that rock, upon that foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ, not Peter. Peter was a fisherman. Denied Jesus 3 times. He's like you and me. One day up, next day down. Come on. Let's not confuse this. I say, you're Peter, and upon this rock of revelation that he had just given him, I'm going to build my church upon the fact that I'm Lord and I empower my church to go out and destroy the works of the enemy and get people saved. It's the other way around. Get people saved and destroy the works of the enemy. And the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Can't. The veil was torn. Jesus tore down those gates. Now the gate that we face is the one going right up there into heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, okay? So we know that Jesus Christ is now Lord and Savior. We've made Him Lord and Savior. And upon that rock, He builds His church. Now here we are. We're the church. So this is verses for us. We're the church now, right? Back then, now, today, forever, until He comes back. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. What kingdom? God's kingdom, with power and authority and ruling over all, right? I'm giving you the keys. That means you have to put the key in and work the kingdom. I've given it to you, but you got to take the key. Why didn't He just say, I've given you the kingdom and just go and do? No, I've given you keys. Now submit, live your life underneath my authority, and I'll empower you to do anything. It says, with God, it's impossible. Right? With Jesus Christ, all things are possible. In Christ, you're empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out the work of the kingdom, God's kingdom, not yours. And He gives us the keys. And whatever you bind on earth shall what? Shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. In other words, you got help. You got the Holy Spirit. You got angels unawares amongst us that are helpers. They're ministering spirits to minister to who? Christians. God hasn't left us alone. Jesus, His Spirit, He walks in the midst of the church. He's with us right now. You don't see Him. It's a different realm. Hello? That's why people think we're peculiar and a little crazy. But as mature Christians, we know these are metaphors. We know that these are terms. We know that there's a realm in the 3D place we live in is nothing compared to God. Even scientists have said there's up to 11 dimensions. We only know three. But they know that there's at least up to 11. With God, that's why Jesus could be here and He could be there. He could be here and He could be there. He could be everywhere because we don't even know of those dimensions. I'm not talking about Star Trek and all the things you're watching on TV to try to pervert what's real. God's supernatural, and He's in charge of the universe, and He made it, and He made the earth, and He made you, and He formed you in your mother's womb, and He knows you inside and out, and He knows how you tick, and He knows that if He left you in your flesh, you'd be destroyed. But He's given you the power from on high, and He's already done it, and He's saying, you now, take those keys and use them against the enemy and the schemes of the enemy. So when resisting the enemy, there's a time to pray and a time to say or declare. Folks, prayer is powerful when we ask the Lord to take action against the devil. Don't get us wrong. It is scriptural and it's effective. Times do come, however, when the Lord requires us to exercise His authority. He's not going to just do everything for you. He's done everything for you and now wants you to go out and do like Jesus did. But sometimes He does and takes His own initiative. But when He asks us to do it, in such cases, the Holy Spirit commands us to turn from the act of prayer itself and in the name of Jesus Christ directly confront the demonic power that's come against you. What am I saying? There's times to pray, and this is beyond my scope of service, Lord, my pay grade. I don't have enough information, and I am not as mature as you think I am. I need to pray. But there's times when God is expecting you to say, to declare, to use the authority that you have to confront the darkness and to make it flee, because you are the light.
Yes.
I pray you get this. I'm trying to make this as simple as I can. In the name of Jesus. You don't do anything without that name of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. It's Jesus Christ that moves mountains. We don't. But if we fail to discern our enemy correctly, that's why it's important to mature and grow. You can't just go be like the sons of Sceva. Hey, we want what you got. Give us that power. And okay, here it is, you know. And they weren't mature and they hadn't grown and they came against the devil and said, yeah, in the name of Jesus, you know, you guys go. And they got attacked by the enemy because the enemy said, I know Paul and I know Jesus who you're spouting off. And they have authority and we're scared and we'll obey you. But they didn't say that. They said, we know Jesus and Paul, but who are you? They didn't know their authority. They just wanted it. There's a lot of Christians out there that want the power and authority, but never study to show themselves approved. They never learn how to warfare. They never build themselves up in Christ. They never submit fully to God. Yes. And therefore, they go start spouting this stuff off, and these demons are mocking and laughing at them. Yes. And wondering why we don't have the victory.
That's right.
Sometimes we pray, and sometimes we say. But if we fail to discern our enemy correctly, remember basic training last week? Discernment was key. And we remain passive. That's not acting in faith. We stay passive. We're often hindered from becoming effective in spiritual warfare. So if you don't discern correctly, and we just want to stay at R4 no more and not get involved in spiritual warfare and remain passive, then you're not going to be very effective when it comes to a time when you desperately need spiritual warfare on your behalf. You're generally running to someone else for help. And that's okay. We're here for that. But you need to learn how to fight on your own as well. Passive Christians, instead of warfaring on behalf of the kingdom, simply want to settle for temporary relief. If you're getting hammered by the enemy, or if you see someone else being hammered by the enemy, all you're doing is, oh God, just get them off me. I don't want this anymore. We're not to whimper and cower from the enemy like that. We're to resist him with the weapons of our warfare, which we'll be discussing through the weeks to come. And he will flee.
That's right.
And not just temporarily, because you can bet that you can use your authority quickly and have him go, but if you don't fill your house back up, he's going to come back with 10 or 12 other demons and make it worse for you. Do not become passive as a Christian. You're in a war, whether you like it or not. Engage, learn, fight, get trained, get equipped. And that's what we're going to be doing over the next month or so. So again, don't just look for temporary relief from the enemy. Oh God, please take the enemy away from me. We ask God to make the devil leave us alone while the Lord is telling us to pursue our enemies and scatter them like dust. Did you hear what I said? We're saying, leave us alone. He's saying, go get them and scatter them like dust. How do I know that? Psalm 18, Eric, Psalm 18. It's what you read the other day to us, the whole thing almost. Psalm 32 and 34, 37 to 39. The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. How about that? He makes my feet like hinds feet, and he sets me upon high places. What does that mean? I have power from on high. It doesn't get generated from my own physical, fleshly self. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. These are metaphors, folks. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. I shattered them so they were not able to rise. They fell. Who's under your feet? Your enemy. Satan's under your feet. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. Folks, in the natural realm in which David fought, this applies. But God's word goes so much deeper than what you read in the natural. There is a spiritual truth behind everything he uses in the natural to convey to us that our enemies are under our feet, bending a bow of bronze. I'm not going to bring a bow of bronze in here and have you sit there and bend. It just means that we have strength and power from on high that we can exercise against that invisible realm with prayer, yes, when we need God to do it and we don't have the capability of doing it, but there's times when he calls us to take the initiative, use the keys we've been given, use the equipment that we've been given, and go out there and get it done. You're my church. You represent heaven on earth.
That's right. That's right.
It's time to fight. This day we fight. This day we fight. Folks, passivity can take you from being a warrior to being a worrier. Passivity can do that. Some have been so conditioned by defeat that fear keeps them from exercising their spiritual authority. Oh, I've been beat up once, so I quit. I'm glad every football team or baseball team that's lost a game has never quit playing for the season. There may be some battles you lose because you get a bad hair day. Because you're just down or you're disappointed or whatever and you need a little help and stuff like that. Welcome to humanity that still exists until Jesus comes back. But you do have on board the ability to overcome. Some Christians, when they see a church moving in authority, think of it as if it were something sinful or doctrinally wrong.
oh, they're out there and they're delivering people, and da, 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 that's doctrinally, that's not correct. However, confidence is not a sin.
Amen.
Exercising our faith is not presumption. Standing on God's promises when others flee is not foolish. We must exercise our spiritual authority in Christ when the Lord summons us to fight against evil in this world. And He will summon you. Someone might argue, well, God hasn't called me to face principalities and powers, for that's beyond my confidence level at this point in my walk. Maybe so. Okay, we're not saying that, okay? But understand, we're not talking about foolishly challenging world rulers of darkness, especially when God hasn't specifically called you to do so. I'm not saying that. You'd be like the sons of Sceva in that way. But how about confronting that little demon of lust that keeps you shamed and feeling condemned? Folks, do not start out by attacking the devil himself. Begin with that spirit of fear that keeps whispering unbelieving thoughts in your mind. You have to start somewhere, folks. Remember, you're in a war, like it or not. You must learn to fight. Perhaps your victory will not come until you turn and face your spiritual foes in the authority of Christ. That's why it's waiting. You're going, oh, I don't understand why God's not coming through. And He's like, I have come through, and I'm waiting on you to use the key.
Amen.
Put it in. The class we're having, the actual seminar that we're doing with For Your Health, is going to really give you an arsenal of weapons and give you time to actually get some of this work done and fighting done in the 3 days that we do it. First day is mostly teaching. Second 2 days is you and God coming against the enemy. That's why we have that class. And that's why we're so, I mean, if I had one thing to do, it wouldn't be preaching. It would be doing that class. Because there's more victory that comes from that. Because once you get your spiritual and you get your emotional freedom, your body will then line up. And generally, you'll get a healing. With authority, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Know who you are in Christ. And then you're going to go out and give it to others. That's the best part. That's the best part. So don't go out foolishly challenging these things, okay? But take on some of these things like unbelieving thoughts in your mind, okay? If an unclean spirit is complicating your freedom, listen to me now. A demon spirit, an unclean spirit, demonic spirits, Jesus referred to them in a number of different ways, right? If an unclean, because they are unclean, spirit is complicating your freedom, simply praying or even repenting, which, by the way, are both awesome and necessary. But it may not be enough. Praying and repenting when it comes to deliverance may not be enough. You must turn and face your enemy. And in the context of repentance, when you've been repented up, okay? Now, because remember I said you have to submit first to God? In other words, when you're not in rebellion against God, command that spirit to depart in Jesus' name. You don't have to pray and ask God to do it. He's already done it. You command that spirit to depart in Jesus' name. The Lord can, of course, listen now, the Lord can, of course, utterly destroy the devil in a heartbeat. And sometimes He does just that, and we've seen Him. But there are also times when it pleases Him more to crush Satan under your feet. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Now, don't misunderstand me in regards to spiritual warfare and go focusing on the devil. This series is not for you to focus on the devil. Focus on the anointing that God has given you to stand up against the schemes of the wicked one. This is not about focusing on the devil. It's about focusing on the anointing that you need to discover and build up and exercise and know who you are so you can come against the schemes of the wicked one. His name shouldn't even come up in conversation. Know who you are in Christ. Go out. When you meet the enemy, just level him and move on. Get him out of your way. Finally, folks, take up the full armor of God. Take up the full armor of God. Do you know that He's giving you spiritual armor? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Finally, He says, be strong in the Lord, in the Lord, and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm
against the what? He's got a plan, folks. We'll talk about that next week. The schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Folks, the warfare that's going on in the world today between countries and stuff like that's all in the natural. And so you take your last breath, you die, you're going to live forever. The war that you're really in that you need to be concerned about is the spiritual war that's going on right now in your life. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces. That tells you there's a hierarchy in heaven. There's governmental order amongst even the demonic realm. So there needs to be order in church. Even with all the gifts that we have, and we all flail around sometimes with some of those things, there still needs to be governmental order. God's a God of order. There's powers and world forces of this darkness against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. What heavenly places? Not just heaven itself. He kicked them out of there. The heavenly places is the second heavens. That's that invisible realm that we don't see with our three-dimensional eyes, ears, nose, and throat. But it's here. And it's throwing thoughts, which we'll talk about next week. That's the biggest weapon he's got. He puts a thought in your mind, and what you do with that thought is where spiritual warfare goes. It either goes out the door or it comes in. And moves to the next place of temptation, which moves to the next place of acting on it, which moves to the next place of a toehold and a foothold and a stronghold. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a process. Take up the full armor so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. Well, you know, we're there, folks. Yeah, right. And having done everything, stand firm. So that means even when you don't see the victory, even when you may get hurt a little bit, you know, and take a few bruises, don't worry about it. Stand firm. You are not going down.
Yes, that's right.
Stand firm means you're not going down. Why? Because Jesus has got you. And the Holy Spirit is ready to strike. But the only way that can happen is when you got it in you. And you know what you are. And you know what you have. And you put this word and you digest it and you have it in you. Because when you speak the word, Jesus, what did he do against the devil when he fought him? He used the word. The devil twisted it, and he said, nope, that's not the way it reads,
that's right.
Devil. This is how it reads. Get thee hence behind me, Satan. You know what? Do not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, I'm not going to stir any stones into bread. God can feed me with a raven from a. I don't need your food, your bread. You don't sustain me. My Father sustains me.
Right.
I don't care how many days I've been in the desert and gone without food. I'm his. He's got me. How about you? As you put on and be, or should I say, it says in the Bible, put on. Become trained in the use of your heavenly armor. You become equipped to use the most powerful weapon in the universe, which is what the Bible calls the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I just explained to you. Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the what? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then in Hebrews 4:12, what can that sword do? For the word of God is living. That means when you speak it, it goes out into the heavenlies, and there's angels, and there's heavenly hosts, and there's the Holy Spirit on your behalf to actively get this word done. When God spoke, the Holy Spirit actively created the world. Remember, he hovered over the waters, and God said, what? Let there be light, and the Holy Spirit went to work, and there was light. Well, when you speak, for the word of God is living, and it's active, and it's sharper, it penetrates. It does what it intends to do than any two-edged sword. And it's piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. What is he saying? It will separate the ungodly thoughts from the godly thoughts and tell you to get rid of them. And it'll go slice and dice and whoosh, get out. That's what it's saying. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your spirit is what God gave you to be weaponized to get the soul to come into alignment with the spirit. And when it's not, it'll divide it, it'll take what's evil, and it'll move it out.
Amen.
Pierce as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge, listen to this, it can judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So when they're not good, it'll give it to you, but you got the keys, and if you don't use them, and if you don't kick it out, and if you say, let it remain, then you know what? Don't be calling on God to go, oh God, my life's a mess and I don't know what to do with it. Yes, you do, he says.
get rid of that sin in your life, or repent for that, or whatever. Or, you know, if he's attacking you and you're not getting it on your own, go to some godly people who can have the gift of prophecy and have the gift of wisdom and be able to help you. That's why we need each other. The weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are mighty through God to the what? Pulling down of Satan's strongholds. I don't care what you have going on in your life and how bad it may be and how attacked you may feel you are. You have your weapons are mightier than his. And all you need to do is get a little help if you haven't gotten it done already. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh. They're not what we do in the flesh. But divinely, they're powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Where Satan has set up shop in your life, today's the day of salvation. Who cares? Whatever's gone on in the past, I don't care if you came in here. That's why when we meet people that are not, you know, that are not saved, they're not cleaned up right away. They get saved and they still stink like a fish. They go through the process of sanctification and get clean. But we bring them into the kingdom, as Billy Graham would say, just as I am. Don't expect them to treat you with respect. Don't expect them to receive you right away. Don't expect them to acknowledge you and say, oh, I appreciate you evangelizing me today. That's not going to happen. Maybe sometimes people are open. That's probably because some other person put some seeds down before you. Right. And occasionally you get the opportunity to see that seed watered and blossom into a full-blown salvation. Are you intimate enough with God to know just how much he loves you? I'm winding this up. I want you to answer this question to yourself. Are you intimate enough with God to know just how much he loves you and is willing to fight for you? I want you to think about that. Does he love you enough to fight for you? I'll say this too. Does he love you enough to fight with you, for you, with you? And does he love you enough to allow you to fight on his behalf? Because he's trusting you. Okay, I'm not going to go out there. I'm not going to just, in one word, wipe these people out that are in your life, that are causing you some misery. You've been trained up in the way you should go as a child of the King. I trust you, Christian. Go out there and take care of business. And what would we do with our own son or daughter as we, you know, we let them go out there, but we got one eye on them there? Okay, they're kind of failing miserably here today. They're right there. It's just like when you, hopefully, you've done this and not let your kid crash, but sometimes you make mistakes. But you put them on the bicycle, and what do? When they're learning how to ride a two-wheel bike, you're going right there with them. They're on their own. They're steering. They're doing everything humanly possible, right, for their level of maturity. But you're right there going like this. And so, sometimes dad screws up and boom, down they go. But daddy's still sovereign. He'll pick you up and he'll heal you. Put hands on you or salve and you'll be healed. You'll move on. You'll get to the next level. But do you understand what I'm trying to say here? There's times when God wants his children to act upon the word in which he gave you. Fight. Fight for the kingdom of God. It's your home. You're not of this world. This is our home. And we got intruders. And God wants us to handle them in a very godly, submitted, spiritual way. And he gives us the keys to the kingdom to do so. And the power from the Holy Spirit to get her done. That just gets me excited when thinking about it. He loves you, as I said before, and he's willing to fight for you. And you know who knew this best? David. David. Psalm 18, Eric, verses 1 to 3. Says the Psalm of David. A servant of the Lord who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies. How about that? And from the hand of Saul. So sometimes God just decides, you know what? I'm going to do it myself. And he said this. I love you, O Lord. My strength. The Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my God.
my rock, in whom I take refuge. That means in Christ, in Him. My shield He is, and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. You want to be held in captivity? Be held in captivity by the one who loves you so much He'll never let you go. He'll never leave you or forsake you, and that's your God. Jesus, Holy Spirit living within you, the triunity of God, one God, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. It's powerful. It's powerful. So I pray today you're now aware that you are in a spiritual battle as a follower of Christ. If you're a follower of Christ today, you're in that battle, and that you are one of God's mighty child warriors, not warrior, but warriors packing His divine authority. Next week, we'll talk about the process.
So, Lord, we just come to You right now and just thank You for another day. Another day to be able to be in each other's company. Another day to be able to honor You, to love You. And as we learn how to fight our battles, how we learn how to use our weapons, Father God, that You've given us, we have the power. We have the power to knock down our giants, to kill our giants, to destroy our giants, and to help teach others. It's not just about ourselves, but how we can help others do this, how we can teach others how to fight their battles, how to take their swords, how to take their shields, their armor, put their armor on, and go head on with the enemy, because we're done giving him ground in our life. So, Father God, ignite a fire in every one of our hearts to want to rush into battle, so that we're fighting to be first in line to go fight. That we have to push each other out of the way to, as we're sprinting. That we're just so fervent for You to fight this battle, so just in tune with Your Holy Spirit, that we slay the enemies in our life and other people's lives. So God, just bless every person as they go out the doors, and that they remember the one of the biggest weapons to use is love, because out of that love will come the power. So as they love on the people in their lives, that the people will long for what they have and will learn about the rest of the tools they have in their arsenal. In Your name, amen.